in our preaching and try to share with you some more about these windows of blessing. We talked about the windows of behavior and then on last Sunday, and then the windows of blessing this morning. Windows of behavior, windows of blessing. Next week we're going to talk about windows to beware. And one fellow asked me this afternoon, said, well, you talked about the windows of behavior and windows of blessing, windows of beware. When are you going to talk about the windows of blessing? And I said, I haven't found them yet. But we're going to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us, and finish up in these windows of blessing. Now, we talked this morning about the blessings of prayer in the window where Daniel was praying. He opened his window towards Jerusalem and found a blessing of prayer in the window. We talked about the blessings of potential in the window, and how if we'll just be obedient to God in every area of our lives, how that there are so many potential blessings there for us in response to obedience to the Word of the Lord. And tonight we'll talk about a couple of blessings in the window, of the blessing of protection and the blessings of provision in the window. Let's read from now from 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and let's read verses 32 and 33. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, I want you to get the picture here. They're trying to apprehend Paul, not because they want to have a conversation with him, but they want to put him in prison and eventually kill him. And he said, the Lord spared my life that night because somebody hid me in a basket and threw me out a window where they let me down. And then he finds my friend protection in the window. And through a window, verse 33, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Now, we are reading here in this passage of Scripture tonight concerning the time when the Apostle Paul is relating to the church at Corinth of how that he was rescued through a window. And my friend, there he found solace and found help and found a security in a window. And so we want to talk about these blessings of protection in a window. Now, he says, I was let down through a basket in a window. I was let down by the wall and escaped his hand. Paul describes his near encounter with death as the governor of Damascus desired to catch him and to kill him, my friend. And this passage follows the time where Paul details all that he has gone through in the ministry. He begins to tell us about all the hard times that he's had, all the troubles that he's had, all of the times of near-death experiences. You see, Paul realized when he began to recount to them of these different experiences, he realized this time, this issue of when he got let down out of a window was not the only time that he came near unto death because of his service for the Lord. I mean, my friend, first of all, as we begin to look at this, we see how he recalls his persecutions. Some doubted his ministry and doubted his calling and doubted his apostleship. But his answer was given in this chapter of the Word of the Lord. Look back in verse number 22. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak of as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. How about that? In deaths oft. It just seems like the Apostle Paul feels like he had been left for dead or escaped by a miracle of God, the hand of death on many occasions. And then he begins to detail these experiences in verse number 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was beaten, my friend, 39 lashes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Boy, it hadn't been a life for Moses, for Paul in the ministry, had it? Serving God hadn't been a life for Riley, for him. I mean, he's had troubles, he's had trials, and he's even had many near-death experiences. Many times he thought, for sure, I'm going to die, and that's all there is to it. And he begins to recount them to us, to recall his persecution. Matter of fact, he says that these things have come on him, not just because of his life experience, but as his service unto the Lord, he's experienced these things. Now, it's one thing to have suffered because you're full of meanness. It's another thing entirely to have suffered for the Lord. And Damon said, my friend, let no man among you suffer as an evildoer. But he did say, we'll suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. And so, friend, if you're going to suffer, suffer because you've lived for the Lord, because you've been obedient unto God. He said, and my friend, all these things, passions, often cold and nakedness. And then verse 28, on top of these things, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. He said, in the middle of all this, while I'm getting stoned and beaten and striped, while I'm in the middle of my perils and shipwrecks and seasicknesses and all of these things, while it seems like I'm having one near-death experience after the other, on top of that, I'm trying to pastor some churches, and some of them fellas is driving me crazy. I mean, it ain't always easy, he says, to pastor a church and to try to help the people. And on top of all of my troubles in life, I've also tried to be faithful in pastoring the church, he says. But then in verse 29, he begins to ask some questions. He says, who is weak? I'm not weak. Who's offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I'll glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He said, hey, with all I've been through, I'm not going to complain about anything. I'm not weak, I'm strong. I'm not giving in, I'm keeping on. I'm not quitting now, I'm going to serve God. I'm finishing this race. Been through too much to quit now, and I'm going to finish the race. You see what he's telling us about all these near-death experiences, all these trials that he's faced. You see, he realizes one thing for certain. Had he faced them as an evildoer, or had he faced them as a lost man away from God, surely he would have died. But through them all, God has created a window of protection, a place of escape. Through them all, God has put his guiding hand around him. Somebody said, well, if God had been, and listen, if Paul had been alive today, surely been him, or one of them fellows would have said, if Paul was right with God, he wouldn't be going through all them things he's going through. And he wouldn't have all the trials that he's got. But you see, the reality was, God was guiding Paul through each step that he took, and each trial that he had. You see, he could have quoted, surely with Mr. Newton, when he stepped through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me safe this far, and it's grace that'll lead me home. And this life as a Christian, my friend, will not be a life free of trouble, and free of difficulty, and free of pain, and free, my friend, of persecution, and the tribulation, and my friend, heartbreak. But it is a life, thank God, where we never have to walk that way alone, where we're never left by ourselves, where, thank God, we can hold the God's unchanging hand, and he can guide us and help us and protect us, and through it all, the same grace that saved us will keep us, and every saint of God can plant their feet safely on yonder shore, hear the gates of glory click behind their heels, and know that if all of the trials of this life will be left outside the gates, and those things will be passed, bless his name, and there is a place where all of it will be gone, and we'll be with him, and the same God that kept us safe here will my friend rescue us now of this whole world one of these days. Well, bless his name. Makes me want to have running fit tonight. Amen. I praise his name for that I would. If I hadn't been preaching much here lately, I can't hardly stand this much running. Woo, but it sure is good. To know, thank God, that in this life I have his care, I have his concern, I have his love and his compassion. And to one of these days, thank God, all the things that we face in him and through him and with him will all be
left outside, and we'll be with the Lord. And the devil has no place there, and sin has no place there, and sickness has no place there. Oh, His protecting hand. Hey, hey. Oh, hey. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That strife should be pulled back. That stone should break His bones. Father, shipwrecks. Your friend could strangle him, but none of them could touch his soul. Woo! Even got snake bit after being shipwrecked one night. But he just shook the snake off back in the fire and kept on serving God. I want to tell you, friend, even with old Job and the Lord turned the devil loose on him, he could not touch his life. I feel that's in the hand of God. Our souls belong to Him. It's not the devil's territory. God bless His name. He recalls His persecutions. Yet He said, the Lord's brought me through them all. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. Who is weak? Boy, you think Paul's been through all that. He's an old man now. He must be wore out and tired of the ministry. Maybe finding a place in there, thank God, in some beautiful place. You know, maybe like Myrtle Beach or something other. Maybe go down South Miami and find a place to retire and get a Social Security check coming in. And then get out of the ministry, you know, and just kind of retire, travel and see the world. Well, here's a traveling and seeing the world in the bottom of a prison boat. And from my friend all over the Middle East, and to my friend the New World, of that day even into Italy, and to my friend seeing all kind of interesting things, as a prisoner of the Lord, but he hadn't retired, he hadn't quit. He said, I'm not weak, I'm going to keep on serving God. And surely he did. Amen. Well, well. He said, who's weak? I'm not weak. Who's offended? I burn not. Matter of fact, if I'm going to give any glory to anything, it's not going to be the devil and all he's putting me through. But he said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been through all these things. Yet the Lord's been by my side. He even said this to Timothy in the 2 Timothy 4. He said that he stood by himself that night. And no man stood with me, he said, notwithstanding the Lord stood by me that night. Somebody's experience in the book of Acts in chapter 24 and 25 and 26, how they arrested him. And it begins a set of events that eventually leads to his death. And my friend said, nobody stood with me that night, but the Lord stood by me. I want to tell you something, friend. Paul, I kept on going on in the midst of his trials. I called him, had somebody walking with him. I have a friend divine walking with me. That's what we're singing about. He's my king, see. Amen. Oh, yes. And if that wasn't enough, he said, when I got in Damascus, he said, the king sought to kill me, but said, the Lord provided the way for me even out of that. And they took me and put me in a basket and put me out a window and let me down out the window. And I found a place of escape and a window of protection. When you feel like you're backed up in a corner and you just can't go any further, and there's not a door on the right or on the left, and there's no place else to go, I bet the Lord will open a window of protection. You're one of His youngins. Thank God. Even in the hour of death, ultimately your life will be taken. But thank God for the child of God. Hey, hey, death is not the end. There is only a translation from this world to a better land. And there's protection for the child of God. There's protection, Paul, in the middle of all this and all he's been through and all he's experienced, and he's still going on. And somebody said, boy, that Paul was really something now. Maybe some of these Corinthians begin reading this and they say, that Paul now, ain't this man of God really something? And just to make sure nobody thinks that about him, and he gives the glory to God instead, he starts into chapter 12 and verse number 1. And he refuses, listen, he recalls his persecution, and then he refuses to glory in himself. In the chapter number 12 and verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul said, that's enough about me. Let me talk about Him. Well, that's where we ought to be in life. And when you really get right with the Lord, that's where you'll be. You, rather than telling people about Himself, Paul determined to tell them about His visions and revelations of the Lord. That's where the glory belongs. Paul knew his protection through all these times came from the Lord.
Reason he's still on trucking, reason he's still on preaching. Didn't have nothing to do with Paul. It had everything to do with the Lord. That's why he said, it's not expedient now, doubtless, for me to glory. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's not my place to be glorying now. I'm going to tell you, rather, about visions, revelations of the Lord. Let me tell you about the one who brought me through all this. Amen. Oh, yes, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so he recalls his persecution, refuses to glory in himself. And then he tells us revelations from God are given him. After all this and many revelations that were given to him, Paul, listen, hey, he said revelations were given to him. He goes on to say, a new man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell. God knoweth, there's such a one caught up in third heaven. I knew of such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that is caught up in the paradise, heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will not glory, yet of myself. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I will not glory, but in my infirmities, though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I'd love to be able to tell you that it was all my doings. But if I ever going to tell you anything that's going to help you, Paul says, I've got to tell you about the Lord that I've seen and the power of God's been manifested in me. Now listen, he goes talking about his manifold manifestations and revelations from the Lord. And he don't even want to tell you that it's him. He said, I knew this man was in the body, out of the body. I can't tell. In other words, this fellow that I'm living in, it's this old house I'm living in. It couldn't be me. But if there's something living inside of me, and it's for real, I couldn't tell if it was in me or in somebody else. The experience that I'm having. Now listen, we may not get all of that, but know this much. That when God does something in you, it ain't you, it's the Lord. Amen. And he said, hey, I began to see things that is not even lawful for me to repeat. I can't even tell you about it. But I can tell you it's wonderful. I'll say that's true, by the way. There's some experience. Hey, if a man and his wife loves one another, hey, some things that's just best kept between them. That's best kept between wife and husband. And as the bride of Christ, if you love him and he loves you, there'll be some experiences in your life that'll be so good that you won't have to be able to tell everybody else about it. And by the way, if you did, they wouldn't understand it no how.
I mean, hey, we got to witness Brother Matthew acting crazy right here the other Sunday. And David was dancing for the Lord with all his might, throwing napkins and handkerchiefs all over the place and emptying out boxes and acting crazy. And somebody said, man, that is crazy. And then it was the biggest mess I ever seen. I'm telling you, God moved around here like a Chinese fire drill. You couldn't predict what was going to happen next. I mean, folks go in every direction. Stand up, sit down, run around, act up. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like Ron Peru, one of the Holy Ghost just directed. And you know, God was a director. Every bit of the traffic knew every bit of it was going on. But listen, hey, you got to see him act like that. What we didn't get to see was what is going on down in here. Down on the inside. You may see some of the outward manifestations of God's working, but you'll have to have an inward relationship with him in order to know what's really going on down on the inside. Amen. Well, as a child, I watched the saints of God when the glory come down and I saw the saints of God worship and the ladies sound the men pray, had a man of God preach, had sinners get saved. Hey, I saw all of that. But until something went on down in here, I couldn't really relate to it. I couldn't really understand it. They might even have tried to tell me about it, but I really would not know until it happened to me. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, fellas, I can't tell you about it. And if I could, you wouldn't understand no hell. But I'm telling you, that's those experiences of revelation and manifestation that have kept me going for the Lord.
Amen. Times when depression would grip his heart so deep, sitting in old cold prison cells and his hands and feet chafed with the stocks on his arms and his feet. Amen. The mice are gnawing on him during the day and the lice are chewing on him at night. Being beaten and mistreated by Roman guards and hated God and cussed in the name of his Savior, had to laugh and mock at him and made fun of him and shipped him here and there and let him go hungry, and my friend waste away, had to stand in courts as they accused him of being crazy, had life and make it a mockery out of him and his beliefs, and he felt sometimes, you can even see in his writings at times, where he's discouraged and where maybe even on the brink of the edge of depression, and yet it seems like at every time when it gets like that, there's an experience or a manifestation or a revelation that happens. Have you found Paul in his prayers and sail? I say it, I think myself happy. I found whether I'm abounding or abased. I found to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. And he said, that's once again me too. It's the power of God that's manifested in my life. Brother, if you really get to know the Lord in a very special way, whether you're abounding or you're abased, whether you're high or low, up or down, in or out, whether everything's going right or everything's going wrong, the thing that'll keep you going is the manifestation of God. And he even went further than that. He recalled his persecutions. He recalled his persecutions. And then he refuses to glory in himself. He tells us that revelation from God is given. And you'd think Brother Paul has really got it now. But he said after all of that, then there comes a thorn in the flesh. Now, sound like to me he's already got a bunch of thorns. But now there's some one particular something that's a thorn in his flesh. Sometimes when you watch people that you think are spiritual giants, and you look at them and you think they couldn't nothing, take them down. And it seems like you've watched them wrestle bears and lions and giants, and they didn't have no trouble with that. But sometimes it's just the very smallest little thing that'll be the thing that'll destroy them and tear them up the most. A thorn in their flesh. Did you know the mountain's not what stops the mountain climber? It's the pebble he gets in his shoe. Amen. It's not that great big old rock he's climbing. It's that little medium that gets in his shoe that tears us up so many times. You remember Elijah and how he fought all the prophets of Baal and prayed fire down from heaven, killed all them fellows and threw them in the brook. And then, my friend, you think, and prayed a rain down from heaven after he prayed a drought in for 3.5 years, then prayed rain down from heaven. I'll run a horse and chariot all the way back to camp, and him an old man. Yeah, we find him right after that. We find him Jezebel, a woman says, I'll have you killed. And he runs 3 days out in the wilderness, sits down up under a juniper tree, and said, Lord, I might as well be dead. Hey, somebody said, hey, I think I can handle a woman, but I don't know about 850 prophets. Well, maybe Elijah was a little different than you are. And your problem's different than his. And mine is different than yours. But I'm a Everybody's got their thorn. Everybody's got their pebble. Everybody's got their issue. And where you might withstand what seems to me to look like mighty strong hurricane force winds in your life, the soft, cool, gentle breeze may tear you all to pieces. Amen. And he said there's a thorn in the flesh. Down in verse number 8, he says, well, actually verse number 7, look what it says. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You see, Paul said, I had this problem. If the Lord hadn't have done this to me, I had this problem with pride. The Lord had to allow trouble in my life to keep me humble. And hey, he said, matter of fact, if he hadn't have kept me humble, the revelations would have stopped. if it hadn't been for the thorn seed, because, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And in other words, if I hadn't had the thorn, the revelations would have stopped. I'd have got so haughty and so high-minded and so prideful. It would have been above measure. It would have been more than God could have worked with, had God not allowed this messenger of Satan to come in my life. And many times we do like Paul does then in verse number 8. He said, I besought the Lord thrice that He'd take this thing from me. I prayed 3 times earnestly with all of my heart, God, take it away. Move my mountain, fix my problem, remove my trial, take my thorn out. And I began to pray earnestly that God would do this. Paul didn't even realize it was the thorn that is keeping the revelations coming. He didn't even realize it was the thorn keeping him humble where God could work in him. He just said, God, I want the thorn gone. He didn't know what good the thorn was doing him. He thought it was killing him. And all the while it was opening his eyes to see the things of God. Many times, troubles, trials, difficulties come in our life, and all we do is like Paul and say, Lord, take the thorn out. Don't even realize sometimes that them thorns is what's allowing us to see God's work in our lives and His way. I remember oft times hearing Brother Jeff stand and testify that he thanked God for giving him cancer, because through those experiences is where he got to see the manifestation of the Lord in his life. Amen. And it's a blessing now. It's a blessing that the Lord allowed Brother Jeff to get healthy and strong and all that kind of stuff again. I appreciate that. But listen, hey, those manifestations and those workings of the revelations of God are worth experiencing the thorns. They're worth experiencing the thorns. He said, I prayed God to remove it from me. But in verse number 9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm not made perfect, Paul, when you're your strongest. I've not manifested my greatest in you when you're standing on top of the mountain with your hands raised and everything's going good in your life. I've not brought the most glory out of you, Paul, when you're speaking with great oratories and showing man your wisdom and your knowledge. You see, Paul could do that before he ever got saved. He was an educated man. He was a well-informed man before he ever even got born again. It was in Christ and His suffering and not in His thorns. That's where people saw God at work in the life of Paul. Yet we pray in this generation for God to remove all the thorns and move all the mountains, take away all the trials. And we seem to think that's what faith is. Well, anybody can have the kind of faith that says, God, get me out of this mess. It's not hard to have that kind of faith. It's a little harder to say, God, I don't like it, but I'll put up with it if You'll help me through it. But that really ain't good for you neither, because you'll get bitter. But you know what's really hard and what's really profitable is when you say, God, what You want is what I want. And if the thorn's what's got to be for me to experience You, I want the thorn. Not just, Lord, I'll put up with the thorn, but God, if the thorn's what it takes for me to experience You, I want the thorn. The thorn becomes of value to You because it is a gateway or a pathway for you to experience the manifestation of the revelation of God. Now that's enlisting faith. It's easy to have escaping faith. It's hard sometimes to have enduring faith, but brother, when you get to where you have enlisting faith, you say, God, what You want, I want to enlist in it. I'm a candidate for it. Do what You want in my life. I just want You. If I don't have all the other things I want for that I've been wanting, if I don't have all the other stuff that I've been asking for, if You never do anything else besides that, what I want, God, is You. When you fall in love with the person of God more than the attributes of God, and you say, God, it ain't all your benefits and blessings I'm looking for. The blessing that I want is to walk next to You every day. Brother, then you can experience the Lord. Then you can have joy in Christ. Then you can have a peaceful walk beside Jesus every day. And so He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, so Paul says, most gladly, therefore.
all the stuff he just told us he went through, plus the thorn in the flesh, and he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. You know why I'm telling you I'm glad of my infirmities? That praise and the trouble I've been through, because it's the trouble that has allowed me to see God. Hey, you don't have rainbows without storms. Amen. Everybody loves a rainbow, but nobody gets to see it until somebody has a storm. Amen. Everybody loves a rainbow. Everybody loves healing, but you don't get healing until you get sick. Nobody wants to get sick, but everybody wants to get healed. But nobody gets healed until you first get sick. Amen. Everybody wants to get saved, but nobody gets saved until you first get lost. Amen. Nobody wants to be lost, but you've got to get lost if you're ever going to get saved. I'm telling you, things in fairness, if these things that you think are killing you, that's saving you. That's strengthening you. So quit griping about them and glory in them. Praise God for them. It's not just a matter of, Lord, I'll put up with it. It's a matter of saying, God, if that's what you want, I want it. I won't just tolerate it. I'll thank you for it. That's why I was able to say in 1 Thessalonians, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means good and bad. In all things, give thanks. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful for it. He says, I'll glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, in all the things nobody wants. I'll take pleasure in them. For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The Apostle Paul looks around, he said, fellas, just about like what he said a while ago when he says, who is weak, I'm not weak. Who is offended, I burn not. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to quit because of these things. I'm just going to keep serving God in spite of these things and be thankful for these things and trust God to take care of these things. Now that's faith. That's faith. I'm talking about the blessing of protection in the window. The Apostle Paul fought when they had to put him out the window there at Damascus. Boy, now, they think there's some way to be treating a preacher man. Come to town, try to help somebody, try to tell them about the Lord, want them to get saved. Not only do they not pay me, they run me out of town. And to keep from getting killed, I got to get put in a basket and let out a window. But that window was the protection of the Lord. The window was the protection of the Lord. He understood with all his trials, God would make a way of escape. You see, the Apostle Paul is the same one that wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 when he said, there hath no temptation. That word temptation does not mean a temptation to do evil or solicitation to do evil. It means a trial or a test. If you will. There hath no temptation taken you except that which is common unto man. And with all these temptations, you see, God will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Not a way of escape to get out of it. A way of escape to be able to bear it. To bear up under the load. I'm not talking about you never experience a trial or temptation. I'm talking about under temptation, there's a God of protection that will strengthen you and allow you to bear it. Even enlist in it. And even thank God for it. Because it lets you experience the Lord. I guess I preach on what I'm preaching on tonight probably with more conviction, more fervor than anything else that I have ever preached on in my life. And I deal with this kind of stuff a lot. I know that. I deal with a lot. You know why, don't you? Because this world's in a mess. And everywhere I go, I see people, Sister Selma, so depressed and so downtrodden and just about ready to throw in the towel and give up. And everybody's got problems, buddy. I mean, everybody's got problems. Hey, if you ain't got no problems, I wish you'd let me know. Raise your hand. I'll bring some mine over to your house. Let you handle them for me. Amen. I mean, everybody's got problems. I used to have a fellow friend. My friend Hope Church for Good. And he'd always say, we need to go around now, knock on doors of the community and see if there's anybody needs anything. My Lord, everybody. Need something. I mean, hey, ain't nobody that don't need nothing. Everybody needs something. Hey, there's trouble at your house and there is at mine too. And if you ain't got a whole lot right now, there's more coming. Everybody's got problems. But everywhere I go, seemed like as a kid, everybody had problems. But saved folks that had problems that were out with God, in the middle of their problems, they could still shout. Now seems like everywhere that I go to preach, everybody's got problems. And folks that said the saved is the depressed, you couldn't get an amen out of them with a dog at them. Threatening them with a guard dog, you couldn't get an amen out of them. I mean, you couldn't get a bit of joy. That people look so depressed and so miserable. For the night, they'll say, the night's been several months ago. Was it to Cracker Barrel somewhere or another? And it wasn't the one here in Bremen. But it's Cracker Barrel somewhere or another. Eat a good meal. Boy, I mean, it's a good meal. We had everything. They had so much food on table. You know how it is. They bring so much food out table. You couldn't eat it all. And if you was to eat it all, there'd been an explosion in order in a near time. And I mean, we're eating and just having a big old time, and the family together, and we're holding hands and praying, saying the blessing, praying the kids' life, and telling jokes. I had to get on to them. And some, because they're laughing so much, felt like they were disturbing everybody. I had to find them, they all had to cut that out. Then we'd get home, you're going to have to behave. Just having a big old time. That's bad when you got to threaten to whip them to get them to quit laughing, ain't it? And they was having a big old time. But I looked around, and all these people now wearing new clothes, the parking lot full of new cars. They're sitting there eating so much that they're getting so fat they can't hardly walk. Some of them couldn't hardly get in and out of the seats they're sitting in. We got more than what we ever could possibly need or use. And everybody in the place got money to pay for it with. Had folks are sitting around with their families around them. Some of them big crowds of families around them. And yet everybody virtually in there looked like they had just lost their best friend. I saw it and I said, look around at this crowd. She said, what is it? People eating it? I said, look around at their faces and look what they look like. Man, there's people everywhere, absolutely. And the food wasn't that bad. People around there everywhere looking so depressed and so sad and so tore up. And here it was, a Friday night, and folks out with their families are having a big time and eating and they're having a good time. And here they are blessed, and yet everybody depressed and everybody tore up. You know what I'm finding, friend? It ain't no different when I go into the average church house. Everybody depressed. Everybody's in trouble. Praise me, preacher, can't pay the bills. Praise me, preacher, I'm sick. Praise me, preacher, we got this and that going on in our family. And listen, I'm not making a mockery of those things. I mean, brother, they sometimes, especially, sometimes the weight of them are so real, and it is so heavy, and it is so cumbersome, that it's very hard for you to get victory. But may I say, you're looking at the walls that's got you pinned in. You're looking at the waves on every side when there's a weather prepared, and God just as surely as He's seen you through the rest of that, as you've already come through, He'll see you through this as well. God has not died. Heaven is not bankrupt. And God can meet your needs. And you do not have to live in doubt and discouragement. And if you think that's charismatic, call me what you want to. I still believe God will take care of His young ones. Amen. Bless His name. I'm not in this to quit. Like the Apostle Paul, I refuse to quit. You think the trials of life, difficulties, that you face these light afflictions, that's what Paul called all this business. He just said in one passage, it's the light afflictions of this earth. I want to tell you something, friend, that Paul called his trouble light afflictions. And yet when we can't figure out how to take serious no, but we think our world's coming to an end. I had a fellow tell me one time, I'm talking about a man that had a job and a car, and a wife and driver's license and everything. You'd expect to have good enough sense to be able to make it in this world. Told me one time out of his own mouth, said, preacher, you've got to pray for him. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I couldn't even pay my cable bill this month. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. It won't kill your punified self to live through a month without cable. Amen. Matter of fact, if you cut it off and get you somewhere in the prayer closet, go to finding that window of prayer and seeking the face of God, you might be amazed at what God would do for you. Amen. We're so pitiful, it's ridiculous, ain't it? And then when folks really does have real problems, we're so wrapped up in our puny problems, we don't have no idea what to do to help them. Ain't that right? I mean, the old timers used to, that somebody got sick, doctors didn't know what to do. Pneumonia, Jesus might as well go ahead and plan your funeral if you got pneumonia. Paul talks about them death rattles. And that's what the old timers talk about, getting the death rattles. I mean, you got good and sick, you's a goner. Unless the Lord intervened. The people in that day wasn't so worried about all these silly, frivolous things. They wasn't worried about how to pay for the bass boat and still be able to smoke cigarettes and have money enough to go out to eat on Friday night, every Friday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and to still have money to do all that, and to still be able to pay the bills. Hey, they're more concerned about issues that really mattered, and they're finding themselves a place to pray, and when somebody got bad sick, there really wasn't nothing nobody could do. They knew how to get in touch with God, and God would work. We've got so cumbered about with all these little things, it's like a millstone tied around our neck, and we're living in so much defeat, and there ain't no cause for it. Because there's help to be found in the Lord if you'll just have it. Oh, yes, we'll face some real trials. We'll face some real difficulties. But no matter how severe they are, there's always a window of protection for us. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're troubled on every side. Troubled on every side! If you were just close at you and think, man, ain't it rough to live a Christian life? But Paul said we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That word distress literally means to be God forsaken. He said we might be in trouble, but God hadn't given up on us. Hey. And if you're right with the Lord, you might be in trouble, but you ain't give up on God either. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. That word means confused. But we're not in despair. We're not going to give up. Oh, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. In other words, we may have been knocked down, but we're not knocked down. We're going to keep on. I just refuse to quit. Going to finish this race. All right, protections. Blessings of protection in the window. Let me give you one more and I'm going to close. There's blessings of provision in the window. If you want to turn with me, you can. We're not going to leave this other passage of Scripture, so if you want to turn with me, I'll make reference to several verses. In 2 Kings chapter number 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, I believe Miss Ginger in her class had their Sunday school lesson on this last week, if I recall right. And I didn't know about that, but that'll work out good anyhow. There she is coming in, so I'll mention it again so she can hear me call her name. I believe Miss Ginger in her class had their Sunday school lesson on this last week as they're studying on this thing that happens in 2 Kings in chapter number 7. And the Bible says in chapter 7 in verse number 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now that don't sound like a big deal. He's prophesying tomorrow there'll be food to buy in the markets. But if you understand they ain't no food to buy, then it begins to be a pretty big deal. He says tomorrow there'll be food to buy. I'm going to give you the setting in just a minute. But notice then in verse number 2, then a Lord, not the Lord now, a Lord, little L, on whose hand the king leaned, one of the king's primary advisors, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. Now have you listened enough to me in the last 2 weeks worth of preaching on last Sunday morning and this morning, then again tonight, to understand that God does make windows of heaven? We preached this morning out of Malachi 3:10, how that He would open a window in heaven and pour out a blessing on us that we wouldn't even be able to receive it. This man said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, but God does make windows in heaven. He said, that not then this thing be. And he said, speaking of Elisha, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Now let me tell you the passage of the setting of the Scripture. We're talking about provision in the window. In the midst of a famine and an enemy blockade in Samaria, Elisha prophesied that God would feed the people with bread. A down peddler at the king's hand says, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And the prophet said, this man will see it, but he'll not eat of it. Let me give you 4 things about this story, and then we're going to close this sermon out. First of all, the opposition was bold. In 2 Kings 6:24, it teaches us that it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. In other words, they surrounded Samaria. They wouldn't let anybody in, wouldn't let anything or anybody out. That city was completely blocked off from all supplies. The enemy boldly dared the people to come out and be killed or stay in the city and be starved. Boy, that's boldness, isn't it? That's meanness. That's ruthlessness.